Thank God for that. Amen. All right, I want you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 11. Going to read several verses out of John chapter number 11. Then we're going to go to John chapter number 12. And we certainly hope this can be a help and a blessing to you tonight. I do want to say that I appreciate your dear pastor and for the opportunity to come tonight and to preach. And I count it an honor. And I have great, great respect for Brother Rackley. And I thank God for his life and for all that God has done with him and through him down through the years. Amen. John chapter number 11. If you want to stand, we'll do that in honor of the word of God tonight. John chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Go down to verse number 11. The Bible says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Go down to verse number 38. Now Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Let's go to chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which shall betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now notice verses 9 and 10 here, and 11. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Well, I believe if I'd have been living that time, I'd have been a little curious too. Notice verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Not Lazarus, But they've gone after Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Father, we sure do love you this evening. We thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. We thank you for your sweet spirit. Lord, I'm grateful that I'm not a stranger to the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm glad that you got on my trail 33 years ago. Lord, put me under conviction. God, you worked repentance and faith in my heart that I would be able to repent and believe and to trust you to save me. And Lord, I didn't even have the faith to believe that you'd save me, but you gave it to me. And Lord, I want to thank you for that this evening. Lord, I'm glad that my salvation is not anything to do with me, because the Word of God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So we thank you for that tonight. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be a blessing now for a few moments. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll touch us and stir us and challenge us and convict us and do that needs to be done in our hearts. And we'll love you and praise you. And we'll be careful, Lord, to the best of our ability to give you all the glory and all the praise. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take these verses of scripture. It's going to take me just a moment to get where I need to get. But I want you to think with me for just a little bit this evening on this subject. Keeping Lazarus alive. Keeping Lazarus alive. We know the name Lazarus means that God hath helped or without help. We know there are only two Lazarus that are mentioned in the Bible, the other one being in the book of Luke chapter number 16. Both of these men were without help until God helped them. The Lazarus in our text tonight is the subject of one of the greatest and most startling miracles of the gospel story. We know that he was a friend of the Lord Jesus, and we know that he was loved by him. We know that Jesus, according to these verses, wept at his grave along with the others. We know that Lazarus' attendance at the supper here recorded before us brought excitement and enthusiasm to the people. And the Bible said there in verse number 9 that they didn't only come for Jesus' sake only, but they wanted to come and see this man who had been risen and rose from the dead. Lazarus, a name, if you'll notice in the Word of God, is never to be read in the New Testament until the appointed time comes when he is to be sick, he's to die, and to be raised from the dead for the glory of God. We know the Lord Jesus also raised Jairus' daughter. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We know that he raised a widow's son in the book of Luke as well. And it's interesting to note something about Lazarus, that he's never recorded in the Bible as saying one word. But his resurrected life spoke volumes to those around him. Can I say your life speaks without saying a word? We know that little cliche, our actions speak louder than words sometimes. That's very much true. After this scene in John chapter 12, Lazarus seemingly vanishes from the gospel story. You don't read nothing else about him. There could be two reasons for that. One, he could have felt that his presence would increase his master's danger. Amen. Then number two, Lazarus may have been forced to flee from the chief priest, because it's telling us here that they wanted to kill the man. Amen. You know, I've always thought that was a little amusing to some degree. I'm thinking, here's a fella that's been sick, he's died, and the Lord was gracious enough to go by and raise him up, and before he can even get started good, this crowd's wanting to kill him again. Amen. That's pretty bad, ain't it? Oh, he's been restored out, and the crowd's wanting to kill him. I want to say, then I do think this, that it's not really Lazarus as an individual that they're really wanting to kill. See, Lazarus in many ways was a picture and a type of a resurrected sinner. He now has a testimony, and they're wanting to kill his testimony. Amen. I want to say this, Cena. We know with every miracle of salvation that takes place in a person's life, that along with that, and because of that, that we now have a testimony that cannot be denied. If there's anything the devil wants to destroy and muddy and distort and do away with, it's a testimony that has weight, that has character. My friend, that's believable in the day and time that we're living in. Amen. You know, the devil wants to remove any kind of influence that a person may have that would cause others to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this many times over the years. You know, the devil will do everything he can to keep us from getting saved. Oh, you better believe he'll fight the old sinner friend from coming to Jesus. Oh, yes, he will. But can I say that if he can't get that accomplished and he fails, and thank God he did in my life and yours if you're saved, thank God the devil didn't keep us from getting saved. His next objective is to destroy our testimony. Amen. Oh, yes. He wants to destroy your testimony that you may have eventually come to have. Listen, we can see through the life of Lazarus that the enemies do not even want you to get your feet on the ground good. Amen. Can I say something to you that maybe have not been saved very long? Maybe have not been saved but just a few months or a few years even. I want to say you got to be real careful and stay humble before the Lord and stay in the Word of God and learn how to pray and stay in the house of God and do everything you can how to keep junk out of your heart and sin out of your heart and just take that walk with the Lord and don't try to push and make things happen that don't need to happen. Just let the Lord have your life, amen. And if you will do that, there's a better chance than you. My friend, you know, I've seen a lot of them start out like a firecracker and end up in a didn't last very long. And I'm not against being fired up about being saved. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of them. We just had one in our church not long ago. Professed and got saved, all fired up and everything. And it wasn't about 2 or 3 weeks. I was telling him, I said, son, I said, listen, I'm glad you're saved, but you better be looking out for the enemy. He'll be coming around the corner, and he'll want to take what God's doing in your heart if you're not careful. And it wasn't very long. He come around the corner and hit the devil head on. And my friend has messed him up so bad, I can't even get him hardly to come back to church now. Right. And then I have seen some of young converts get they get saved. And then if they're not careful, they get puffed up. And for some reason, Brother Rackley, they think they've been saved about 3 or 4 months. They know more than the preacher that's been saved for 30 years. Oh, don't let your salvation puff you up in the wrong way. I mean, you'll be excited about being saved, but you got to be careful with that, amen. Oh, I've seen that down through the years. I want to say that Lazarus is a testimony to the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every saved sinner is that. I want to use Lazarus tonight for a moment and look at him as a testimony. And when I'm saying keeping Lazarus alive, I'm talking about keeping your testimony alive, amen. See, the devil don't necessarily want to kill you. He wants to use you.
Oh, listen to that.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of people say, well, I want to die for the Lord. No, he wants you to live for him.
Yeah, that's right.
He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. And the devil is not interested in just killing you. He wants to use you for his benefit, amen. And so you got to look out for that. I want to say that it can be, and it is a sad thing when a testimony dies. It's a tragedy when a testimony is just absolutely killed. I have several emotions that move in my heart when I hear of someone's testimony either being killed or becoming questionable. And if you're not careful the way you live, you can end up with a big question mark on your life. Sometimes my emotions, I feel anger and disgust, and I think, my goodness, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you go that route? Why would you do this or that? And then I'm quickly reminded by the Holy Ghost that but for the grace of God, myself, I would be in a mess. And then sometimes I feel sorrow. I realize the pain, the hurt, the embarrassment that the family must feel. Well, friend, if you ain't got no respect for yourself, you ought to care enough about your family or to live right.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to do anything that would embarrass my wife or my children.
Amen.
Let alone my Lord, amen. I want to say sometimes I feel fear and I humble myself and I beg the God of heaven to help me to keep my testimony clean and believable for those who are watching me. Amen. Oh, can I say there's never been a time when you and I need to keep Lazarus alive. Ecclesiastes 10:1, I got a message. I'll preach out that verse. That verse says, dead flies cause the ointment in the apocryphy to send forth a stinking savor. So doeth a little folly him that is a reputation for wisdom and honor. That's every believer. Solomon's making a comparison there to dead flies and stinking lives. Can I say that we must do everything in our power to keep Lazarus alive? Amen. See, a testimony is such a powerful thing. But it can be a fragile thing. Talking about testimony. We should not let anything bring it to death. Do not allow our testimonies to get stained or to get scarred or to become stale or to get stolen or to become stinking or get sick. We got to keep our testimony alive. Amen. Well, I want to say that the life of Lazarus is a picture of the type of a sinner who gets saved from the beginning to the end. In John chapter 11, verse number 1, it's a picture of the fall. We know Lazarus here is sick physically. You know, we was all sick spiritually at one time in our lives. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, we know all them verses. All them goes back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Our sickness is traced back to a fall. But my friend, can I say that we're sick because of sin? We were dying physically and spiritually, amen.
Yes, sir.
But let's go from the fall. Let's get not only a picture of the fall, but let's get a picture of our freedom. If you'll go down to verse 44 in John chapter 11, I love this verse. And he that was dead came forth. Okay, I personally believe he's probably floating out through here now. Because he's bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin, amen. Oh, can I say, here's a picture of a totally bound sinner. Lazarus is bound hand and foot. His face is bound with a napkin. He's buried in grave clothes. Listen, at one time in our lives, friend, you and I were bound hand and foot. My face was bound, amen. But thank God Jesus came by and said, live, get up, amen. And he resurrected us from the dead. Hallelujah. I want to say our hands were bound. That means we had no power to grasp anything. We couldn't get a hold of nothing. A lot of people are trying to reach for it, but they just can't get it because they're bound. Their hands are bound. I want to say he was bound hand and foot. His feet had been taken away from his master. His feet had been bound, indicates a distance from his master. Also a neglect of receiving instruction for not being at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He couldn't move forward, amen. And then he had grave clothes. So he was completely wrapped up, consumed in death. That's how we was, folks. Oh, I wasn't a half-dead sinner. I was all the way for him. Dead. Dead. I was dead in sin. Oh. Whoo. Well, as soon as we're completely wrapped up in our sin and our sins had us bound. Can I say, if you've ever been freed from the grave clothes of sin, I promise you, friend, you don't ever, my friend, want to lose that freedom that you now have in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, that's right. Thank God for freedom. We must keep Lazarus alive. See, the chief priests wanted to send him back to the graveyard. They wanted to kill his testimony, amen. I mean, friend, they didn't want no resurrected person walking around. And can I say the devil wants to send you back to the world. He wants to send you back to where you was before you got saved. We got to keep Lazarus alive, amen. I would say that his face was bound with a napkin. Think about what all that involves now. Yeah, he couldn't see, couldn't hear, couldn't smell, taste, or eat. Oh, listen, no. Listen, now he's no longer bound but free to enjoy the good things of God. Woo! Hey, just as I had enjoyed the physical things in life, I have now been for 33 years enjoying the spiritual things of life. Oh, my friend, it's so wonderful, it's so glorious to be saved by the grace of God and to be able to grasp spiritual truth and to be able to open the Bible every now and then and get a little nugget out there. I mean, the Holy Ghost give it to you, amen. Oh, yes. And I say that we can do these things. We too have been let loose and let go, amen. See, John 12:10 said, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. No, no. We're going to keep Lazarus alive. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. It was an amazing testimony they wanted to kill. So we don't need to try to take things personal. It's our testimony about the Savior. People don't lie. That's where the real problem lies. I just preached on that here a while back on where the real problem lies. You know, Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light. They can say all they want to about what all they want to, but the real problem is the fact that people don't like light. They don't like the Word of God, amen. Now, I know this is simple tonight and just basics of Christianity, but if you're going to keep your testimony alive and flourishing, I'll say number one, that you got to get in the picture of fellowship. In chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2, guess where we find Lazarus? He was one of them that sat at the table with him. Lazarus is alive again. His health's been restored and it needs physical nourishment, amen. Well, once you've been made alive spiritually, you need spiritual nourishment, amen. Our spiritual nourishment often comes and is in connection with our fellowship around the table, amen. They tell me that supper was usually in the evening. That was one of the most important parts of the day, amen. Can I say that when we come to the house of God, that's probably going to be one of the most important hours of your life, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, or Friday night. Oh, listen, friend, it's important. Why? Because God wants to feed us from the Word of God. Amen. Oh, yeah. It was important keeping Lazarus alive. Feed him. Make sure he has fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Say, Lazarus is not only brought back into fellowship with his Savior, but Lazarus was brought back into fellowship with his sisters. Verse number 3, Mary, she's over there worshiping. Martha's over there serving, amen. Yeah, Mary's getting ready to worship. Amen. Can I say that your testimony can properly function and thrive through the fellowship of the family of God? Yes, folks, this is not a one-man stand or a one-man show. Right. We got to have each other. Yes, amen, that's right. Oh, yeah, got to have that fellowship. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get around the table, amen. There's power in fellowship. See, the devil is in isolation. I've seen a lot of people out there get like that. I've pastored people that got like that before. When you get drawn away off by yourself, you're headed for trouble. You've got to stay around God's people, amen. And if you're right with God and they're right with God, you can fellowship with each other. Amen. See, there's power in unity. And there's no power in division. That's right. Oh, can I say there's power in unity? So what I want to say is, do not allow the devil to drive you away from your brothers and sisters in Christ that you go to church with. Amen. Can I say if there's somebody on the other side of the church tonight and you just they just not one of your favorites, you ought to start making them to become one of your favorites. And we all got our little things that gets on each other's nerves, amen. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know where I'm at. You made out the same stuff we are. Yeah, I've been pastor church 21 years. I know how people are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they just aggravate me to death when they do that. Well, why don't you quit looking at that one thing that's been emphasized all night tonight anyhow and look at all the good stuff. And love that brother, love that sister, amen. I tell you, friend, I don't want there to be not one human on this earth that I could not shake hands with and have a little fellowship with around the things of God. Amen. I know sometimes we got to draw the lines on situations and circumstances, but if they love God and they're trying to do right, I want a fellowship with them. Amen. Oh, that's right. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Let me say this before I say that. Be careful of getting that attitude. I've heard people say this before. Well, I just don't feel like I fit in over at that church anymore. I just don't feel like I fit in over there anymore. You're headed down the wrong road with that attitude. And if that attitude don't get changed, you'll be going out the door. Well, I just don't feel right over there anymore. Why don't you get right? Won't you get right? Don't fit in. Well, get right. Was you fitting in before? Well, something's come up then. You let something get in your heart. You let the devil put something in your mind. And now he's got you sidetracked. Oh, I just don't feel like I fit in over anymore. Well, get right with God, you will. I like Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one. Verse 10 said, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Amen. Verse 12 said, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. There's power, there's help when you're surrounded by people that love God. Amen. It's not only a picture of fellowship, but it's a picture of feeling. John 12:3, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I'm not afraid to say that that odor probably attached itself to all those that were sitting there. It got on them. I was sitting there listening to Pastor exhort a while ago, and it wasn't long. I didn't have it when I got here, but it got on me when I got here. It started getting on me, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That odor was attached to you, amen. It would get on you, amen. Oh, that's right. It hadn't been too long ago that Lazarus was stinking, but now he's smelling sweet, amen. Oh, that's right. Oh, how we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and by the fragrance and the spiritual odor of our Savior, amen. Can I say a spirit-filled life puts off a sweet odor, and it's a positive odor. You can't read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 without finding all of that is positive. The fruit of the Spirit. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Get the odor on you. Get the fragrance of the Savior on you. You'll be sweet, amen. Oh, listen, your testimony will either stink or be sweet. If you're going to keep your testimony sweet, guess what? You need to get around sweet people, amen. Have sweet things, amen. I don't make it a habit of fellowshipping too much with that bitter crowd. And I'm not being mean. I just ain't going to be around that spirit if I can help it. I want to be sweet. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to be sweet. But it's the right thing to do. When I started preaching 30 years ago, I wasn't too sweet. But the Lord has a way of putting that in you as the years go along. And I'm glad. I'm glad for that. And I love it. I like the sweet presence of Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm saying, it's a picture of the feeling, amen. Oh, it's like, we got to keep Lazarus. Hey, the only way you're going to keep Lazarus alive is to get full of the Holy Ghost, amen. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 5:18, we know that little phrase there, it actually means a continuous feeling, a continued thing. You know, I wish I could stay filled. But I found that I got a leaking problem. And so I must continuously go before the Lord and say, Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. Lord, fill me. You ought to pray that every day. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God today. Lord, let me walk in the Spirit today. Let me be controlled by the Holy Ghost today. Well, if you look at Galatians 5, those verses that talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going down there or it's either before or after, and look at the fruit of the flesh, there are two drastic measures, amen. Two different ways. And I'll be honest, I've seen a lot more people in the flesh than I do the Spirit. That's because they don't walk in the Spirit. They don't stay full of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a picture of fruit. But I would say number five here, it's a picture of the fruit. Verse 12 and 11, the Jewish leaders wanted Lazarus dead because he was a living witness to Jesus' power. See, we've got to keep Lazarus alive. This is what you are. You're a living witness to Jesus' power. Amen. People were coming to Jesus as a result of Lazarus' resurrection. The text verse said they wasn't coming for Jesus' sake only. That's coming to see Lazarus. Amen. Oh, can I say this evening? If you're saved, you've had a resurrection. Huh? Do you remember when the Lord raised you up? Huh? You remember when the Lord raised you up? Huh? What? Do I need to call 911? Do some of you need to be resurrected? I've been resurrected, friend. Oh, yes. I remember the night. Oh, we sang that song a while ago. I never shall forget the day. Oh, no, I won't forget that day. My brother wrote in that little note, and he said, in case you need a date, it was October the 11th, 1981, when I got saved. A day I shall never forget or get over. I want to say October the 28th, 1982. On a Thursday night, about 10 minutes after 8, I met the King of Kings now. Got saved. Didn't know it, but I got resurrected. I didn't know what all God done for me that night. He saved me now. I was listening to one preacher. He said there's about 75 to 80 things happen at the very point of salvation in your life. Good night. Man, that was great. I'm still finding out things he did for me. Still don't know everything he's done for me. I still ain't got it all figured out, but what I'd have, it's great, man. I tell you. It's glorious, amen. I tell you one thing I have found out. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got a friend that'll never leave me nor forsake me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got resurrected, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. He quickened me that night. I mean, I got saved so fast, I didn't even know I got saved that fast. I got saved quick, amen. It wasn't a long drawn out thing for me. Now, some people have to go on the altar. I just went down there as broken, as humble as I know how. I told God I'm a sinner on my way to hell. If you don't save me, I don't got no hope. Praise God. Listen, I really believe I got saved before I ever got the altar. Amen. You know why I believe that? Because the will of my heart broke toward God. And when I started going to the altar, God knew I wanted him because he wanted me. Listen, don't get all hung up in what I prayed, didn't pray. It's what's in here that really matters. Oh, yes. Oh, my heart said yes to the Lord that day. He knows I said yes to him. And he said, I believe I'll save him right now. Amen. And I've been saved ever since. The next time you see me, I'll be saved. And for 5 billion zillion years and through all eternity, I will be saved. Woo! I tell you, if I was that crowd of thoughts you could have it and lose it, I'd be a nervous wreck. I tell you, the way God hung me over the fires of hell, I tell you, I wasn't blowing bubble gum when I went down the altar and a cutting jokes and a smiling. Oh no, friend, God wiped that smile off my face. I was a going to hell without God and didn't have God. Oh, listen, when I got lost, it wasn't a pleasant thing. It was horrifying. It was terrible to be lost and realize I'm lost. But hey, when I got lost, I got saved, amen. I remember I looked up through the ceiling to God that night. I said, Lord, I know what my problem is. I am lost. Never got saved. I never got saved saying, Lord, now if I'm lost, I want you to save. If Lord, now if I'm not saved, I won't. Oh, no. No. Never got saved, never got nothing settled while I was saying, Lord, now if I'm lost. But see, I had never really been lost. But I really got lost. Holy Ghost got me lost. Whew. Oh my. He'd been working on me about 5 or 6 months. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew there was something bad wrong in my life. Something bad wrong in my life. No peace. Now, don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to sound critical, but I go to my pastor. And he'd pray with me and say, well, you're one of the best church members I've got. You've got to be okay. Oh, man, I'd feel good, brother. Well, if the preacher thinks that, I've got to be all right, surely. Well, about time I got my door shut and got about 5 feet out of the parking lot, Holy Ghost knowed I wasn't all right. That preacher might have been doing the best he could, but I'll never tell anybody they're saved. I don't care who they are. I only tell my wife she's all right, amen. It's between them and God. Matter of fact, I don't know if Brother Rackley's saved. He didn't know if I'm saved, but I know I'm saved, and I believe he knows he's saved.
That's right.
I hope you know you're saved. Fruit. Have fruit, amen. I don't know why I was going with all that, but it was good anyhow. I want to ask you the question right quick. Is anybody benefiting from your resurrection?
Oh, listen to that.
You know, I'd hate to think that God would be good enough to come all the way to the glory, die for me, send the Holy Ghost after me, and get me saved, and I'd never done anything to help anybody else get saved. I'm not saying that because I'm a preacher. Well, listen, I like what one old preacher said years ago. He said there's three things everybody ought to do before they die: get saved, have a shouting fit, and win somebody to Jesus. Amen. You ought to do three things in this life. You ought to get saved. You ought to have a Holy Ghost shouting fit. And you ought to get somebody to Jesus. Amen. It's my resurrection. I'm benefiting anybody around me. Matter of fact, listen, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Amen. The picture of fruit. John 12:11. Let me read that again right quick. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let me say something about the picture of the facts. John 12:17. I like this. John 12:17 said, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead. Look what they did. Bear record. I preach about keeping Jesus, keeping Lazarus alive, keeping your testimony alive. If you will be real, others will bear record. Somebody said facts are stubborn things. See, facts don't go away. Can I say that a fact is a thing that is indisputably the case, it's reality, it's truth. I love those verses in Acts 3 where that lame man, the Bible said they could say nothing against it. And then and another part, they said, we cannot deny it. We can't say nothing against that. I mean, this guy, he never could walk. Now he is. They couldn't say a thing about Lazarus. They knew he died. Many of them watched him take him to the grave. And now, he's up walking around again. That's a fact they could not dispute. They could not deny. That's the kind of life that I want to live. One that is indisputable. One that is so real that people cannot even think for one moment and say, well, I don't believe there's nothing to that. No, they have to say, hey, there's something went on with that boy. Hey, something went on with that woman. There's something real happening in their life. Oh, you got to keep your testimony alive. We got to keep Lazarus living, amen. Oh, that's right. I promise you'll keep Lazarus alive. Others will bear a record. See, sometimes you got to prove yourself. Pay your dues. See, I don't believe there's really no shortcut to a strong, steady, stable testimony. You got to stay with it, friend. Get saved. How long have you been saved, sir? 4 years? Amen. You're getting your feet on the ground pretty good now. Say the Lord's done called you to preach.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. How long have you been preaching now?
3 months.
3 months. Praise God. That's great. Amen. Whew. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. I just celebrated 30 years. 3 months. Help him, Lord. You're going to need help, but guess what? The same God that helped me and Brother Rackley all these years is going to be the same God that helps you. Oh, yeah. Hey, I just want to insert this. There ain't nothing on this God green earth that I'd rather be doing than what I'm doing now, Brother Taylor. Oh, yes, friend. There's nothing greater. There's no more joy that can be put in my heart than to be able to try to preach the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Woo, I love it. Amen. You're going to have some bumps and humps along the way, but I tell you, the blessings outweigh the bumps and humps. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that ordination council that ordained me, they asked me about my call to preach. Well, man, I really didn't know how to put it. So I said this. I said, well, guys, all I can tell you is this is what I believe with all my heart. I believe before I was ever born, I believe that the reason that God let me be born into this world was for Him to save me and to call me to preach and do what I'm getting ready to do. I said, if you can't deal with that, that's the only way I know how to put it. That's the only way. God saved me. God called me to preach. I believe I was called before the old mud sills were ever laid in the earth. Amen. Amen. He told Jeremiah. Hey, I called you while you was in the womb. Amen. Or something like something to that effect. Amen. Oh yeah. I believe I was born to be a preacher. Amen. You say I don't agree with that. Well, you can be wrong if you want to. I don't have no desire to do anything else. Oh, no. No, no, no. Oh, I'm talking about facts. Hey, listen, if you're going to keep Lazarus alive, stay with it, amen. And by the way, son, did you know when you surrender to preach, it's supposed to be a lifelong call?
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to do it for 3 or 4 years and say, well, I think I want to do something else now. Oh, no, friend. No, I'm going to do it until I can't do it no more, until He calls me home, until He comes and gets me. And then if I get where I can't do it, praise God, I'm going to get something where I can just wave something in the air and just let Him know I'm still around. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, I don't want to quit until the last breath goes out of my body. Amen. I pray all the time. I say, Lord, if there's 1 ounce of quit in me, I rip it out. Amen. I'll say, last of all, this is a picture of the future. John 12, 18 and 19. For this cause the people also met Him, for that they heard that He had done this miracle. What a miracle it was for Jesus to raise up Lazarus. Can I say what a miracle it was for you and me to get saved? Oh, listen. If I can make it to October the 28th this month, I'll be safer. I think it's 33 years. I don't want my testimony, my friend, to get old, to get stale, to get dull. Listen, friend, I want to try to be as excited now as it was 33 years ago. Matter of fact, I want to be more excited now than it was when I first got saved. Oh, friend, if you've been saved for 15, 20 years, we'll be excited now more than we was when we first got saved. It ought not go down, it ought to go up. You got to keep it alive. Woo! I don't ever want to get over it, friend. Oh, no. I'm not Brother Reckless at the beginning of the service. Listen, friend. God let me be born right in smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt. Did you know that out of north of the state of North Carolina have come some of the greatest preachers that ever walked in shoe leather? Oh, yeah. Let me be born right in the middle of a county. Had church, Baptist churches all around it. Oh yeah. Whew. Sovereignty of God. Providence of God. Why? I've asked the Lord, why didn't you let me be born over here in the dark jungles of Africa somewhere with a bunch of heathens? Why? I don't have the answers to all that. I don't understand. But if God, Brother Taylor, is going to be good enough to bless me like He has with what He has and to save me, I mean, that was just enough in itself just to get saved. Then He called me to pray. Oh, friend. Oh, listen, friend. Oh, listen. What a miracle that I got saved. Now, this first time I meet some of you folks, so just let me tell you a little bit about it right quick. I'm about done. Just hang on just a few more minutes now. I wasn't raised in a preacher's home. I wasn't raised with godly parents. When I was coming up as just a little lad, all I heard was cussing and slamming doors and fussing. My daddy never did drink, but he had a very foul, filthy mouth. That's all I remember here going up. Live within miles of all kinds of churches, and I'll be honest, I don't hardly remember any of them coming and knocking on our door. By all rights, folk, by all rights within my life, I should, probably shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be doing what I'm doing. But folks, they might not have been nobody care for my soul in that little community, but there was a God in heaven. He had his eye on me the whole time. And when I didn't know him, when I would curse him, he was looking down on me in mercy and love. And saying, I'm going to save that boy and I'm going to call him to preach. Yeah. All right, so to be in hell tonight. Yeah. Or on my way. But God. But God. But God. Oh, ain't you glad God butted into your life one day? Hey, take a trip down memory lane for just a second. Where was you at when God came to you? Where was you at when God found you? Where'd you get saved at? Hey, friend, I'm talking about a miracle. A miracle. Yeah, them fellas around baiting, they said, well, we don't know what's going to happen to old Terry Dietzelberg. He done went and got religion, but they didn't know I got rid of religion and got saved. Got saved. Yeah. A miracle. If you'll keep others alive, if you'll keep Lazarus alive, there'll be others to follow Christ. Your resurrected life can touch others as well. The Bible said, behold, the world is going after him. They're not talking about going after Lazarus. Going after Jesus. See, folks, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus, amen. Oh, it's all about my Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I pray the Lord will help me to never, ever, as long as I have breath in my lungs, ever forget where he found me. And forget what he's done for me. We got to keep Lazarus alive. Keep your testimony living. You know what you got to do that? You got to talk about it. You know what I like about Paul? Everybody's... Everywhere you see, all about. I just would let you folks know I was on the Damascus Road. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. This ain't no lie. John Clay can testify this now. I guarantee you, 99% of my church members can give my testimony in detail. You know why? Because I tell them about it every Sunday. You know why? Because I got something to testify about. I got something to say! I got something to testify about. Why? There's something happened in my heart and in my life I ain't never gone over. And I don't intend getting over, amen. I'm going to keep talking about it. The more I talk about it, the better it gets, amen. Some of you ain't testified in months or years. You ought to jump up Sunday, praise God, and tell this crowd when you got saved, amen. Amen. Let the preacher know where you got saved. That way when he buries you, he'll have something to say about you, amen. I'm glad I had something to say about my brother as he's laying in that casket, amen. Oh, yeah. It wasn't like that with my dear dad 6 months ago. I buried my dad 6 months ago. I buried my brother this week. Didn't have nothing to say like that about my dad. He made a profession. I'll be honest, I don't believe there's nothing to it. I pray I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope people say. I really do. As far as my capacity to believe and to think and to know what I know, I don't. Oh, friend, did you know the greatest gift that you could leave your family is not $1 million or a nice car or all the material goods in the world or some big bank account? The greatest gift you could leave your family behind when you leave this world is a testimony of saving grace. My daddy didn't leave me nothing. And that's fine. Nothing. My brother didn't leave me nothing, didn't expect him to, but he did leave me a testimony. And when I was listening to my brother preach at his funeral, there was something on the inside that said, amen. 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 Oh, yes. Hey, I'm talking about the future. You know, what happened to Lazarus would carry on into the future. You know, Lazarus literally died and was buried in the grave for 4 days. A dead Lazarus was doing nothing, saying nothing, accomplishing nothing. He was bound hand and foot. His face was covered. He was clothed in grave clothes and stinking. A resurrected Lazarus was loosed and let go. He experienced the freedom, the fellowship, the feeling, the fruit. Folks, you've already been dead one time. And Jesus has resurrected you if you're saved.
Yes, sir.
You can never be that dead again. I can never be dead in a lost sense ever again. I done crossed the line, friend. I done got saved. But the devil can take your testimony and take the life out of it. And you can take your seat with the rest of the wooden onions on the church pew. No life. No excitement. Why? Because you've either forgot or you've let your testimony die. You've lost that excitement you have when you first say. And we all do that from time to time. I don't stay in the mountain 24/7, 365. No, no. But when I feel myself getting that way, I want to run to Calvary and bathe myself in His love and realize how much He loved me to sacrifice to die for me and say, Lord, I don't want to be a dead Christian. I don't want to have life but not have life. A lot of people have eternal life, but they ain't got no spiritual life at all. Same life. No,
yeah, listen to that.
No liveliness about it. You know, Peter said, lively stones. Yeah, I preached a message on that here a while back on from the living stone to lively stones. Amen. Lively. And I like it when it's real. Oh, you don't have to work this stuff up. You just get in His presence, it'll come bubbling up. Just like happened tonight. Just let somebody exhort you a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Old Peter said, I'm going to stir them up. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey! You keeping Lazarus alive? Guess what? I want to keep it alive so it can influence others. Let me ask you a question. I'm done. Does anybody around you want what you got? Remember my first church I tried to pastor, amen, for 9 months. I preached. I was a preaching, and a lady walked up to me one morning after church. She said, Preacher, you look like you enjoy what you're doing. I said, I do.
Yes, sir.
I said, I love it. You ever had anybody walk up to you and say, you look like you're happy about what you got? Oh. A living testimony nobody can dispute. They can't deny it. You know what? You're going to go through your storms and your battles of life. But I'm finding out, even in the darkest times of your life, Jesus can put a smile on your face. Oh, yeah. I just go ahead and confess and be honest. It's been a rough week and a half in my heart. It really has. I see you and my brother for about a week. He died last Friday morning. Had his visitation Monday and buried him Tuesday. It's been a little bit dark right around where I'm at. I can't say I ain't wept and cried for several days when I think about it. Only brother I had. But in the midst of it all, Jesus has been holding my hand. I preached my dad's funeral, and it was hard. But for some reason, I preached my brother's funeral, and it was harder. I don't understand that. But you know what? I'm finding out what I got's real. And praise God, it's going to sustain me no matter what comes down the pike of my life. It's real. I said, Lord, I think I've had all I want for a little while, if it's your will. Lord, may your will be done in my life. And may you get all glory and all praise. Some of my lost folk, lost family come by, shook my hand. I'm glad I could smile at them and say it's all right. Be all right. Oh, yes. Don't let Lazarus die. Don't let the chief consult against you and put you down. Oh, no. Keep it alive. Keep your resurrected life alive. You know, Lazarus had to die again, bless his heart. And he did. I don't know when or where or how, but he did. But you know what? I found out that's not the end. Because I got to thinking about, I believe it's that fellow named Abel being dead, yet speaketh. Talking about future. I hope if my kids ever get married, and I believe one of them finally about ready to do it, or getting ready to maybe in a year or so, and have grandbabies, I want them to either hear or see or know something about their grandpa. Even if I'm gone and they hear it on a tape or something.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want my testimony to live.
Yes, sir.
Jesus wants you to live.
No.
He don't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate the privilege to be here tonight. I want you to bow your head. Thank you for coming tonight.